Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast and listen this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we give you a message of truth. We have a TV program, Searching the Scriptures, from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel 6. Please give it a look. We have an extensive website for all these radio programs. TV programs are there, and a host of other Bible-related material that can help you. Just go to churchofchristatharrisburg.com. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you see the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and visit us. Last week, we finished up the introduction to our subject of fruit of the Spirit. And now we're going to begin today in looking at each individual attribute as it is given in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Paul listed the works of the flesh, those works that the new man who has been converted to Christ must put off and must no longer participate in. And you can also read this in Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Why? They are counterproductive to the new life in Christ. We are to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, behold, all things are now new. And so we need to change the way that we live. Then Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit with which he replaces these works. The works of the flesh must be done away with and must be replaced by the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, that which is produced, refers to the attitudes and dispositions we develop as a result of following the Holy Spirit's guidance revealed in the written word. Man must learn these traits and add them to his character to be the type of individuals that God would have them to be in not only exemplifying what's right and honorable to other men, but to try to help them and bring them to the cross. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the very first trait that's listed is love. Love is the first trait mentioned in the list and is fundamentally first because it is the motivating force behind all that we do in our service to our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, we have a biblical definition of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul showed the character of love as we must manifest it in our lives in order to be acceptable to God. Now, we do not speak with love. It is more than the sound of a clanging cymbal. Noise has no substance and does nothing more than draw attention to oneself. If one possesses the spiritual gifts so that were coveted by the first century Christian, and he lists many of them, but he does not have love, he is nothing. That means he's without significance. He's of no value whatsoever. If one does great works, as mentioned in this text, it is of no personal benefit if the motive behind doing those works is not love. Hence, we see the superiority of love. The spiritual gifts, the great acts of faith, have no personal value if love is not present. Love must be the motivator. It must be the motivating thing that and what we do, why we do it, and how we do it. Love must motivate us. In verses 4 through 7, we get a characteristics of this love. We get an identifying understanding of what this love looks like. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It does not puff up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in all things, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. The main characteristic of love, true love never rejoices over the iniquity and sin of their own or of others. It refrains and rejoices only over things that are true and honorable and right. The main thought is still love, but love will cause one to refrain from any rejoicing that brings sin and death into any life, because that's the wages of sin, Romans 6:23. True love can only truly rejoice over areas of truth that make men acceptable and pleasing to his Maker. The selfish man is one who is concerned only for his own pleasure, or profit or honor, personal satisfaction or gratification of its own desires. Love, on the other hand, considers the wants and needs of others. Love looks out on the things that are ahead of self. Neither is this one easily provoked, to spur on, to stimulate, to stir to anger, to irritate, or to incite. Love does not go around with a chip on their shoulder. One of these characters will not fly off the handle. Love will refrain from being provoked by the actions of others to do more evil. Even if they are wrong and personally hurtful, he will refrain himself and control himself and will not be provoked to do things that are not beneficial to Christ or do not exemplify the fruit of the Spirit of love. Such character will lead one to a deep inner peace and tranquility, knowing that God is pleased with their action. The first attribute is that of love is it is long-suffering. This means to be long-tempered. It can also mean that one has the power to avenge a wrong, refrains from doing so. One who is long-suffering will endure the wrong done to him with patience. Read 1 Corinthians 6:7-8. And love is also kind. Sometimes this word is translated goodness and gentleness, a characteristic that we will look at later in our discussion. This type of love is not caustic or sharp-tongued. It is mellow. This type of character banishes roughness, harshness, and bitterness. Kindness towards those who tend to be unkind can cause them to reconsider their actions and to go in a different direction. Others translate this word unseemingly, rudely, as unseemly. Actions that are disgraceful, dishonorable, or indecent. One who does not love conducts himself in a mannerly way. He is full of goodness. He follows accepted standards of proper behavior. A man who behaves disrespectfully towards others does not have love, does not demonstrate Christ. One who is of this mindset does not allow his mind to ponder or dwell on evil. It does just the opposite. Paul is suggesting that a person who has this type of character does not keep a list of the wrongs done to him with a view towards evening the score. To dwell on evil that others have done to you is to allow resentment and bitterness to take root in your mind. Love forces the bitterness and the resentful thoughts out that they might not cause us to become bitter and personal and then take vengeance on those who have wronged us. We stress the need for faith, and rightly so. But even if we have mountain-moving faith, and it is not motivated by something other than love for God, for truth, for our fellow man in this passage, we are pictured as utter failures. We are failures if love is not the reason why we treat men the way that we treat them. We try to do good to them. We try to uplift them and exalt them and to help them in any way that we can. Love is not puffed up, does not parade itself, or vaunteth not itself. The word here means arrogant speech, boasting, that wounds others and causes unrest and discord. Love does not brag, neither is it puffed up in inflated concept of one's own importance. This verse condemns both bragging and the attitude from which it erupts. We need to not be so bragging that we try to draw attention to ourselves, but try to help others, not by uplifting and exalting ourselves, but by trying to uplift and exalt others. Love exhibits self-control. Love is able to bear the afflictions, the persecutions, or tribulations that come in life. Self-control is endurance, the brave patience that a Christian uses to contend against the means used to discourage or weaken their resolve. Steadfast endurance, motivated by the love for God, will help the Christian maintain the self-discipline he needs to stay the course and to not get lost. If you noticed in this list, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, if you notice very clearly that these attributes are the attributes of love. This is what love looks like. This is what love should be perceived by those who watch us participate and those who see that we have this character. But one that does not have the character of love cannot do anything which will please and be acceptable to God. Love, ladies and gentlemen, must be the motivator. It must be the primer behind every action that we do unto others. Never to exalt self. Never to make a name for ourselves. Never for people to pat me on the back. But simply to be there to help others, to encourage them, to provoke them to do good things, and to do things in such a way that we demonstrate our higher regard for them than we do for ourselves. Let me read you one other passage that may help you understand this concept of love as we have studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, it says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look not only out for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You see, if we have love in our hearts, we're going to esteem others better than ourselves. We're going to look to their needs above our needs. If one truly has a characteristic of love, he is looking for opportunities in order to help others, to encourage them, to provoke them to do what is right, and to encourage them to live for God and to be part of his family. Love is the reason. Love must be, I can't stress this enough, love must be the motivator behind every action that we do for others. It's not to elevate ourselves. It's not for men to pat us on the back. It's not to exalt us as being someone that's better than others. It is to uphold Christ. It is to uphold his word. It is to uphold his ways. It is to point men to a better way, a constructive way of living. And so we seek to help others. Love is something that is observable. Men can see it. And when we lack it, men can see that too. It is demonstrated by our speech, by our actions, and by the thing that motivates what we do, how we do it, and when we do it. Dear listener, do you have this characteristic? Do you have this type of love in your conduct towards others in your lives and those you come in contact with? This is the only fruit of the Spirit that God will accept. Please tune in again next week when we will continue looking at love and how it is a fruit of the Spirit. Thank you.